morning, everybody. It's good to see you. It's great when you see new people, and we've got new people here today we've not seen before. We've got people who come from all the way from Weston-super-Mare, so good to see you. There's a gentleman here who won't mind me looking at him. We've missed your voice. We've missed you. You've been, it's so lovely to see you. How's your mum?
Really great.
Great. Just remind me of your name. Graham. Graham comes and visits his mum. He's a good boy to his mum. And he comes and visits his mum. And it's lovely. We've not seen him for a year and a half. Can we give a round of applause to Graham? I don't know if you're the sort that minds being embarrassed, but I'm afraid I just have, so. But seriously, it's lovely to see you. We've got Adam at the back, who's next to Dennis. And this is Mobility City today. So we have mobility scooters, we have sticks, we have chairs, we have seats, we have everything that you need. If you're short of anything, be quick, and you can take it with you today while they're not watching. If somebody goes out in the middle of the end of the service, you'll think, where have they gone with that stick? That's what's happened. But it's just lovely to see you all here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for faces old and new. We thank you for those coming in at the moment, being welcomed. We thank you that you always welcome us with open arms and a smile on your face. Pray that you would be here in a way that we just know that you've been with us, that you are with us, that you go with us as we leave. But I pray particularly as we gather together, we will be aware of your presence and be filled with joy and peace in believing. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm delighted. Do come on through. Yeah, plenty of room. We've got room in the front, or we've got a couple of there on the side. So do come on in. You could be next to Christine at the back there. There you go. See if you can be next. Yeah, whatever you like. That's fine.
Get the gloves.
Good to see you. Where have you come from?
Newtonley Willows.
Luton.
Newton.
Luton.
Newton.
Newton.
Yeah, Newton Willows.
Near St Helens.
Yes.
It's a long way to come.
Well.
You didn't come this morning, did you?
No.
Yeah, we came straight down. No,
I'm glad we put them in the front because they're trouble. You can see them straight away. There's something about the spirit in this place today. There's a lot of hilarity, and that's good news as far as I'm concerned. I think there's just people pleased. Are you pleased to be here?
Yes.
Yes. Some people have been waiting a long time to get here, and it's great. So, yes, so we're in this season now where we're going to be opening up and starting or restarting different ministries. And we're going to be praying them in, each of them, as they come. So we don't do everything at once. And it's all subject to what happens COVID-wise and everything else, but we're on a gradual, steady, careful opening up. And so there will be a few notices and praying for different ministries and so on each Sunday now, which is exciting. Things are on the move. So a couple of things. Firstly, Toddler Cafe. Toddler Cafe. It does what it says on the tin. It's for toddlers and it's a cafe. And what we're going to be doing on a Wednesday morning, from hopefully September the 22nd. The dates will be in the Keep You In Touch, so don't worry about the dates too much, but Toddler Cafe, it's an opportunity for toddlers, their parents, grandparents and carers to get to know one another, to get to know us, and to get to know God. Welcome, Alice. Welcome. Come on in, Lydia. Come on, Alice. Excellent. Good stuff. And it's an opportunity to build relationships. And so we're going to be having from 10 until 11:30, come in, for toddler cafe. The toys will be out. There'll also be a cafe arrangement out. And it's just an opportunity for people to come in for a short time or the whole time. Already, we've got a lot of people in our community wanting to come. I just spoke yesterday to Kerry, who's just up the road here at the Gaia coffee shop. She's got two children now. She'll be coming and bringing someone else with her as soon as we open. And so there's a demand there. And if you think, yes, I would like to come and be part of that, to help people make friendships, to be the grandparent or the uncle and aunt sort of age group to these young children and parents, then do please come along. Let me know, speak to myself or David and Rowena, and we can talk more about the details of what we'll be doing. We need help with serving drinks, refreshments, just people to be there, not taking over people's lives, but just encouraging them in relationships and so on. We don't quite know how it's going to work out, but we'll go with the flow. That's the idea. So if you think, yes, I'd like to be part of that, do speak to me, David and Rowena. Coming up on Tuesday at our prayer meeting, we're going to be particularly focusing on praying for Debbie. Debbie Onslow's ministry starts on the 1st of September, officially. It's when her contract starts. She became a member a couple of weeks ago, and we prayed for her, for both her and the ministries she's leading us in. But there'll be a particular prayer focus on Tuesday evening. So if you don't normally come to the prayer meeting, have a think, yes, I'll come to this one, because it would be great to launch Debbie, and all those who will be working with her. Things are getting off to a great start with the Renew Ministry. And we've already had a grant come through from the Baptist Insurance Company, which is very generous, and just wanted to encourage you with a message I got from Debbie this week. She works at the Choice Words Christian Bookshop, and a Christian charity, Speaking Volumes, wrote to Choice Words and a number of other Christian bookshops to say, we can now issue grants again, small grants, for books for outreach ministry. So Debbie said, can I apply? And I said, yeah, go for it. Just a grant of £100 and apply for it. And this was the message that came back. Dear Debbie, Choice Words Bookshop have just communicated with me about your request for a grant, which we're able to offer £100 for books. This is a very personal privilege to offer you a grant. Back in the 1970s, this church hosted holidays for children from churches around Taunton, a society called the Taunton Village Evangelistic Society. Betty tells me that Philip was there, and some of you are nodding, you'll remember, the Taunton Village Evangelistic Society. I was dragged along by a friend and gave my life to Jesus at the end of a week of chaos, late nights, good fun, food, songs, teaching. I was 14 years old, and I'm now in my mid-50s. I thought that might encourage you, especially as you embark on more mission. You don't know what impact you might make. I doubt anyone at Winner Street at the time was too impressed with our rowdy visits, but it made a difference to me. Giving you a grant has made my day. That's Paula Renouf, director of Speaking Volumes, who came to Christ because our predecessors and some of our current members welcomed the rowdy group of teenagers. What an amazing start. Somebody giving us a grant because 40 years ago, you know, wow, if God is not behind this, you know, amazing. So I was not a little encouraged by that, and I hope you are too. We're going to worship now, and I want to lead us into worship, and Leslie's leading us today, which is great. I want to lead us with a scripture that some of you will have heard many times, For some of you, this may be the first time. Come in, Philip. You're very welcome. There's a seat right there. Anyway, they'll do. Oh, that's good. Excellent. Right. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. Wonderful. The Lord welcomes you into his presence as you seek him with all your heart today. He's got a gift of hope for you. Hope in Christ. Hope in Christ alone.
Into a time of worship. Can I just remind you, if you're going to sing, to put your mask back on. Otherwise, please be free to worship Jesus as we move into our worship block. Thank you that we do have that hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for the future. And Jesus, it doesn't matter where we've come from today or how we are feeling. There is hope if we turn our eyes up to you, Jesus, and we look to you. Because Jesus, you shall take the highest honour. Thank you. Heart, or whether it be something you want to bring out loud, then just take this opportunity to stand before the cross and worship the Jesus that we have got so much to be thankful for.
Thank you, Lord, that you have sent some beautiful sunshine for all our visitors to enjoy in our bay, and also for us. And we thank you for the blue skies and each day that you have given us.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, I want to thank you that I'm still here, that I was able to enjoy my birthday this week, one that I never thought I would see. Jesus, we thank you that no matter how dark and gloomy things seem at times, we can look to you, the Lord of all hope. And we just want to praise you and thank you for that.
Amen. The way of the world, the Spirit is moving, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, you're working, Lord, and you're saving souls. Wonderful to hear that man came to become a Christian through that work so many years back. And there's so many of us that can tell stories of times when we went along to a meeting and we didn't realise that at that meeting our lives would be changed forever and our destiny would be changed too. Father, we give you thanks this morning that you are building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we thank you for your great salvation, and we just work it in the name of Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. praise the glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done. His awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waves of the foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power.
Amen.
We welcome your return, Lord Jesus. We thank you you will be on the clouds and return here. And every eye will see you, as I said. How could you know that would be possible? Thank you, Lord, for the technology that makes this a reality. We know that every eye will see you. And every knee will bow. And every tongue confess that you are Lord. What a glorious expectation. And we're so glad because we won't be saying that quite like that. We will say that we know your love. And we know the words are true. You're the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Glory, the God of all creation. And you are magnificent. We worship you, Lord.
That's right.
Amen.
Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some, letters of recommendation from you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence we have through Christ before God. It is not that we are confident in ourselves to claim anything as coming from ourselves, but our advocacy is from God. He has made us confident to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Father, you are truly wonderful. You truly are wonderful. We worship you. You are beautiful beyond description, and you truly do have plans for the human race through the wonderful redemption of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're blessed to have children with us today. We've got Alice at the front and Lexi at the back. And Rowena is working with who?
Josie.
Always these two again. Do they cause trouble, Lexi? Do they cause trouble, these two? Right. Do have a good time, girls, all four of you. And let's pray for our girls. And we thank you, Father, for them. Thank you for Lexi. We thank you for Alice. We thank you for all the children that are in different places today. We pray you bless Josie and Rowena and Lexi and Alice as they share together, understand things, something more of you, Jesus. Bless them, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Great stuff. I should have said earlier, for those who don't know, my name's Stephen. I'm privileged to be pastor here. And we're also privileged to have a number of different people who preach and share God's word with us. And in a moment, Sheila is going to bring God's word to us, expounding what Jean is going to read from the Bible. So, Jean, if you'd like to come forward.
Our reading this morning is on page 970. It's Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Those who don't know, the look on Jesus'
face is a ticklish grin. And that's a bad. Father, we thank you
for Sheila. We thank you for the wisdom you've given her. But even more important, we thank you for the revelation you've given her from your Spirit through your Word that she will share with us now. Speak to us, we pray. Words of spirit and life. Amen.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's lovely to be with you here this morning, and I just want to say thank you to you because your singing
and your prayers
so blessed me today as I just sat there and listened. So we can all bless one another. We've been looking in Matthew chapter 5 the last few weeks, and I'm going to continue that this morning, obviously, as we've just said it. So I'm going to be talking about forgiving others. Whoa, that's a toughie. It really is. Even as a Christian, it is hard to forgive others. And as I go through, I may be sharing some things with you that the Lord has shown me over many years. In the early days of Christianity, there is a great debate about the Jewish law. Does being a Christian mean you keep the law more than ever? Or are you now released from its demands? The Pharisees say Jesus breaks the law. They accuse him of working on the Sabbath day because he heals diseases and disabilities, delivers from evil spirits, and lets his disciples harvest handfuls of grain. Just imagine somebody coming up to Jesus and saying, you shouldn't be doing that today, it's a Sabbath. When I was very young, and some of you will remember that time because some of you are my age, on Sunday there were certain things you didn't do. You didn't put the washing out. You didn't go out to play. You had to sit at home and read a book. You had to be quiet in the afternoon because Daddy was reading the paper. Some of us can remember those things. But that was under the law, wasn't it? And this is how the Jews thought about things under the law. The Pharisees say Jesus breaks the law. But Jesus says the Sabbath is a day of sheer freedom to honour God. I like that. Sheer freedom to honour God. Now, if your freedom is to go down to the beach and stand and worship the Lord down the beach, that's wonderful. If it's go on to Dartmoor, that's wonderful. Whatever day you choose to worship the Lord is a wonderful day. And we should worship him every day. But you know what I'm saying? When we come together on a Sunday, we're here by the Holy Spirit of God. God has drawn you today. You might think you made your own mind up, but in actual fact, he was calling you. because that is what God is like. But Jesus says the Sabbath is a day of sheer freedom to honour God, not a day of rigid inactivity to honour the law. So I would say to my mum, "Mum, can I go out to play?" "No, it's Sunday." And you did as you were told in those days. A lot of you are nodding your heads and remember it very well. Matthew gives us a lot of attention to a Christian understanding of the Jewish law. He does this particularly in the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps he shows us Jesus teaching on the mountain to help us to connect with Moses receiving the Ten Commandments. These were Jews we're talking to, don't forget. Matthew's main point is this. Jesus has not come to abolish the teaching of the law and the prophets. He has come to fulfill them. Some years ago, a Christian person was talking to me and saying that he didn't bother to read the Old Testament because that's gone. He just reads the New. You need to read it all. It's all God's word. And if you read the Old Testament, you can then read the New, you can see it just unfolding as what God is doing. So please read it and don't just pick and choose what you will read. All the Old Testament scriptures will continue as God's guide to a good life. Most of you may remember the Ten Commandments. Jesus has come to live them out in perfect obedience and joy. If the Jewish law still applies, should Christians behave like Pharisees? Jesus accused some Pharisees of studying the law for reasons of pride, fear, and a desire to find a loophole. That's how it was. Why do you come to church? Don't answer that, please. But, you know, before the Lord answer that, why do I go? Is it out of habit? Is it because Mum and Dad went and a lot of children years ago had to go to church because Mum said go? I came to know Jesus because my parents got fed up with my brother and I fighting on a Sunday and sent us off to Sunday school with tuppence in our pocket. They said, "Go and find a Sunday school. Go on. We've had a go on. Because we loved each other, but brother and sister... Brother was the older and I was the younger, you know. So off we went on this Sunday afternoon, because we knew Sunday schools were Sunday afternoon. And off we went. And the Lord led us to a little chapel, evangelical chapel. And there my brother and I, over the years, came to know Jesus. And he's with Jesus now, and that's wonderful. So, you come for a reason. And looking on your faces this morning, you come to worship God, the Almighty God. And that's wonderful. The Jews were so concerned to interpret the details of the law correctly that they forgot more about important matters like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Both Jews and Christians need to study the law to find the love of God behind it and to keep it as gladly and wholeheartedly as possible. For a Christian, keeping the law is like walking with Jesus. I like that. I know Jesus. He loves me and he walks with me every day. I hope he walks with you every day. If you're not sure, you can be sure. And as we go on, you'll see why. The yoke of legalism is a burden. Now, we know what that burden is like with COVID for 2 years. You know, you can't go out. You can go out once a day and one walk, and depending on how old you feel is how far that walk was. Laws and regulations. We have experienced that recently, for good reasons, obviously, but we've experienced that. But for a Christian, keeping the law is like walking with Jesus. The yoke of legalism is a burden. But the yoke of Christ is joyful freedom. And you can find that in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Freedom! You are free to come this morning. Do you appreciate that?
Yes. Good.
one there and a voice over there. No, I'm teasing. But do you know what I'm saying? You had the freedom to choose this morning. Every day you have the freedom to choose which way you will walk. Will you walk with Jesus or will you walk away? It's your choice. So let's look a little bit at Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 42. Now Jesus announces a truly difference. He reminds his disciples of the old laws of compensation. That's in Exodus 21, 24. If someone blinds you in one eye, you can blind the one in theirs in return. My brother, when he was about 8 years old, unfortunately had an accident. And as children, we were playing in the street. And with bows and arrows, because we did that in those days. I'm sorry, Stephen, but we did. And you did that in those days. And my brother and I were, we lived in a cul-de-sac area, and my brother and I were playing with the ball further down the road. And there were some young chaps playing with bows and arrows up the other end. And that was fine. I was just throwing the ball to my brother like that. And I looked up to pick it up, and an arrow came down and went straight in his eye. He lost his eye. But he came to know Jesus. Not because of that accident. But, you know, the Lord has his hand upon you. Whatever situation you may be finding yourself in, the Lord is there with you. Now, when that happened, I went screaming up to my mum to tell her what had happened. So-and-so. And I knew who'd done it, because I was old enough to know. And I went up and went, so-and-so, mum, you must come down. And, of course, things were all sorted out. But I was quite cross for a while about that young boy letting that arrow go off. Now, he didn't know. It wasn't his fault. But I was quite cross for a little while, because I didn't think it was fair. We were playing on our own. We weren't playing with them. Why did they do that? Child's mind. But the word of God says, if someone knocks out your teeth, you can knock out one of theirs. Those of us that go to the dentist find it quite difficult, don't we? But only one. This was the law. But only one. You could knock another one's out, but only one. The penalty, is to be exactly fair. But now, Jesus says, the Christian way is to forgive. If someone insults you with a terrible blow on your cheek, disarm them by offering the other one as well. That's all well and good, Father. But it's much harder to do. But you can do it. You can do it. If someone sues you for your shirt, overcome that greed with your generosity and give them your coat for good measure. I used to work in children's ministry and had quite a bit of equipment because I used to go into schools and stuff like that. And another Christian organisation asked if they could borrow some of my equipment. So I thought, well, yeah, fine, that's okay. You know, it's not mine, it's the Lord, so I will. And I did. And they brought it back broken. And never said anything. Just gave it back to me. And sorting it all out and looking. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness me, I've got to buy a new one of that. That's broken. My first thought was, oh dear. My second thought was, well, why didn't they tell me? They're supposed to be Christians. Why didn't they tell me they'd broken it? I was so cross. Because it was the Lord's equipment and it hadn't been looked after. But I had to give that anger to the Lord because that would have destroyed me. And I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be thinking like this. Lord, bless them in their ministry. But it took me a while to do that. I didn't do it straight away. But there are things that, you know, we need to forgive. And if someone sues you for the shirt, as I've said, overcome that greed with generosity and give them your coat for good measure. In the days of Jesus, a Roman soldier could force you to carry his pack for a mile. surprise him by giving him an extra mile. Well, I'll do this for you, Stephen, but I'm not going to go any further. Or I'll do this for you, God, but I'm not going to... No. What is God saying? That's where you need to focus on. What is Jesus saying to you? What is God saying? Give and lend is a matter of course, the Bible says. And as I shared with you, this is not always easy. When I gave something to somebody and thought, great, that they could do with that, that's lovely, they're really appreciative. And I found out later on, they gave it to somebody else. Now, we're in the flesh, and my flesh says, that's not fair. I gave it for them. I didn't give it for them to give it to somebody else. You know, it's everyday living, isn't it? It's the everyday living. It's what you do with these feelings, what you do with these situations. Everyday living. It's not always easy, but we can do it. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. But you have to play your part. The Holy Spirit isn't magic. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. The Word of God says he's a helper. But we need to play our part. But we can do it. We can forgive with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because that is how God treats us, with forgiveness and love. So if God can forgive me for the wrong stuff I've done, why can't I forgive others? Because we think we're more important sometimes. How dare they do that? How dare they do that? I had a family situation, and obviously can't go into the full details of it, but I had a family situation where a family member of mine was hurt very badly by another person. And I was so cross. If that person had come to my house that day, I would have hit them. I would. But I didn't like what was going on in me, because that other person was a Christian. And I thought, why have they acted like that to somebody I love dearly? But I had to come in repentance and say, sorry, Lord, this anger, I don't want it on my life. We have to act upon our emotions sometimes. So if anger starts to rise up, that is not from God. That is from the devil. And he is real. And he is around. But you can overcome it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that person that hurt a very close member of my family, I had to forgive. In the end, I wanted to forgive because I knew what it was doing to me. It was destroying me inside because the hatred was coming out. Every time somebody mentioned that person's name, I could feel it coming up. But I had to do something about it. I had to repent and say, Lord, I don't want this anger. Take it away. And he did. Not immediately. For me. It took a while. It took a while for me to realise what God had done. And 6 months later, the person that had hurt a member of my family very badly came to my front door. Now, if she'd have come the day after, I'd have hit her. There'd be two no ways about that. I'd have hit her physically, because I was quite a strong woman. I worked on the land in those days, so I was quite a strong lady. And I'd have hit her, because at that point my heart was anger. But at the point the Lord brought her to my door, God had done the healing, because I'd come before him and said, I'm sorry. I want to forgive that person, Lord. Help me to forgive. And he did. And I didn't realise he'd actually done it until that person came to my door and I opened the door. I said, oh, hello, sweetheart. How are you? I couldn't believe what was coming out of my mouth. But I knew God had done the healing. And I will say on that person's behalf, they were very gracious and just said they were sorry, and how that they thanked me that I didn't react in a bad way, because I could have gone and knocked her eyes out. So it's your reaction to things. Is it the Jesus way in you? Years ago, I had a book, The Jesus Way. And, you know, is it the Jesus way with you? And I have to praise and thank the Lord that I'm still in touch with that person. And we still keep contact. Because God did the healing. But I had to be prepared for him to do it. Is there a situation that you have had in the past that you think you've forgotten, but every time somebody mentions that name, get rid of it. Bring it to the cross. That's why Jesus died, to take away all that hurt, all that pain. So we have to love our enemies. That's a hard one. In the world situation today, I don't have to explain it for you, but in the world situation today, that's going to be hard for a lot of people. Love for enemies for centuries. The Jews had prized the commandment, love your neighbour. That's in Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. They thought that a neighbour in any fellow... is any fellow Jew, so that leaves plenty of room to hate foreigners. Do you just love the people you can get on with? They said, well, I don't hate Sheila. I sometimes question that. Do we? When we think, oh my goodness me, look who's coming up the road. I've done it myself, I've said it. And we think, oh Lord, I'm sorry, But now Jesus brings the greatest surprise of all. The Christian way is to love our enemies. Matthew 5:43-48. This is what God does, and we are to take after him. You can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it in the flesh. You need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Our Heavenly Father doesn't limit his blessings to good people, as we might do, but sends sun and rain on good and bad alike. Jesus says that loving people who will love us in return
is something any
sinner can do. Greeting our own kind is not different from paganism. Think about that. Can we greet somebody outside that we think, oh my goodness me, what's coming up the road? The challenge to us is to cross old lines of pride and prejudice. My father was quite prejudiced against coloured people. He was in the war and he was in Burma. And I would imagine he saw lots of things. And he was very prejudiced. But my brother and his wife adopted children of different nationalities and different races. And I saw a little West Indian girl, she was only about two then, came into my parents' home, and I was just sat in the corner. I thought, oh, what's Dad going to do? Because I know he just couldn't cope with it. And this little two-year-old sidled up beside him. You know how they do. Sidled up beside him and just touched his knee like that. And I thought, what is he going to do? What is he going to say? Because I knew how he felt. And this little girl, and I just sat there praying quietly, obviously, in my mind, you know, because my parents were Christians at that point. And I would just pray that Dad wouldn't push her away, because she just wanted love. Just wanted love. And she came up closer to him, and the next time I looked, she was sitting on his lap and he was looking down at her. And I just saw the scales fall from my dad's eyes, as if he just suddenly realized, this is a child, she needs love. If you've got any prejudice whatsoever against anybody, bring it to the Lord. Ask him to forgive you and give you the strength to be friends with those people. Our lives are to show true righteousness. Jesus explained the heart of the law of Moses. True righteousness involves more than right actions. It means pure loving and godly attitudes. What is your attitude towards another country, another person from a different country? What is your attitude? As we understand the deeper meaning of God's law, we will seek to obey from the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. Do you have a heart of love for the lost? Unselfish love is Christianity's greatest gift to the world. We never knew such love until Jesus came. You've experienced that love. Those of you that have known and given your lives to Jesus have experienced that love, whether it be in a small little portion or massively. That's a great privilege. Ask the Lord to help you to forgive and love in his way. Amen.
Thank you very much, Sia. Let's just take a moment now. God has said it's a very powerful thing to do. So let's just take a moment. Some of the things that
she has shared,
the things that will take, and she's explained, some time to work through. And we'll need time, perhaps later today, to reflect on what she said. But let's have a moment now to receive God's forgiveness and love.
And to receive his help. To Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to receive your love and forgiveness. We had hurt you. We'd ignored you or said bad things about you. But you still loved us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Is a word that you've said to your Father about us, as well as those who crucified you. Lord, today you offer us complete forgiveness for everything. Help us to receive it. Christianity is greatest gift to the world.
Thank you for that too. Lord, help us
to love others
with the love that you give us. We want to be like you, Jesus.
Help us each day. Amen. We're going to have a song now, which I'd ask you to stay seated for, which is a prayer. And there'll be particular lines that resonate with you today. We're going to sing it, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. And I've asked Claire, as the Spirit leads, just to put the verses back up again, just as we're praying. And as God prompts you, just in your heart or out loud, let's pray, not only for ourselves, but pray for others that you see represented in these words.
Make me a channel of your peace. one soul, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Bring me a tremble of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It's giving to ourselves that we receive. And in dying that we're born to
Father, we come before you this morning, ask you to help us to forgive where it is so hard. Father, we can do nothing about the other person, about how they're feeling. They may not even be around anymore. But Jesus, what matters is our response. And Father, I know that there are within me personal things that are deeply hurtful. And Jesus, without your help, I can do nothing about them. But Jesus, asks for the power of your Holy Spirit to come upon each one of us here to bring us whatever it is that we need to let go, to leave the hurt behind and to focus our eyes, Jesus, firmly on you. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to go to that cross that we might be forgiven, that you still forgive us every day through our thoughts, deeds, that are not according to your will. And Father, help us to forgive others as you have forgiven us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you would help us bring hope to those who are in despair. Amen. Lord, we're mindful today that there are many in Afghanistan who are in despair, those that have been left behind. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave anyone behind. And we do pray for those who are in despair, that they will have hope. Lord, we just don't know how, but we do pray for your intervention, your breakthrough. We pray that individuals, leaders, those in authority, but neighbors, friends, will take action to give hope to those who are in despair, to console those who need consoling, to be channels of your peace. Amen. We are very much on a journey in our Christian life of following Jesus. And for some of us here today, this may be the first time that you've realized that, yes, there's a need to forgive as you have been forgiven. And we are given strength to do it by the Holy Spirit. And it's a journey we're on. Jesus just invites us to follow him. And we don't do it on our own. We do it with one another. We do it with his Spirit within us. We can look around and we can see that we've got friendly faces. Just before we finish our service with a hymn of decoration about our following Jesus, just have a quick look to who's either side of you. You're not on your own. You're not on your own. Hi, Wayne, on the balcony. You're on your own on the balcony, but you're not on your own. But we're not on our own. And if any of you today, you know, what's been said is really tough, and you need to speak to someone, then God will show you who. But there's lots of friendly people here who won't judge you, but will listen. And so if that's you, if you need to talk with someone, just say, have you got a moment? Just find some space or outside or wherever. We've got plenty of room to be safe. So our final hymn, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. We are in a battle, but we don't need to be afraid. because he is with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.